This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Well, welcome this afternoon with us. We have Pat and D. Doyle on, and I already feel like my IQ's gone up 10 points because they're two of our best educators that we've had in this community. And speaking of education, we want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. Stan McNabb provides quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, Mac Minnville, and Shevel, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. The reason I said, speaking of education, is Stan's mother is Nancy McNabb. I think that you guys probably know her, my aunt. And we're going to the Readable Mill in the morning, which is a great place to start your weekend. And I think most of us are going to be there about 8:30. But I am so happy to have both of you on. And Pat, did you have to drag Dee over here?
Well,
yes, he did.
It took a little convincing. Mostly she didn't want me to embarrass myself too much. So she agreed to come.
You know, it's nice to have people who are experts in the field that we're going to talk about. And, of course, that's education. And I think since we've all been through the process, from and starting with first grade for me, we did not have kindergarten at that time. We think we all know about education. And it certainly has benefited every one of us. I mean, it has shaped all of our lives and made us what we are now, because it's so important to us. And like I said before, I can remember every one of my teachers and how much they meant to me. Pat, it seems like that education is starting to take some hits now, which I feel like that they've been placed in the wrong area. And I want to hear from somebody that's actually more versed than what I am.
Well, that would probably be more Dolores or Dee than myself. She was in the trenches for a very long time, taught second grade and fourth grade, finished up her career at Reese Rogers as principal. Mm-hmm. So she has a much broader feel for what's going on, and what the requirements are, and what K through 12 teachers are facing right now. So I'd let her chime in anytime she wants with that. What about the class size?
That's one thing that I would really like to mention. I would like to recommend some reading to our governor and legislators. And the reading I'd like mm-hmm. them to do is the STAR Project, which is one of the most well-known studies that has ever been made on class size. And amazingly, it was done right here in Tennessee,
wow.
1985 to 1989. Mm-hmm. 79 schools participated, thousands of students participated, and the results were very much in favor of a reduction in class size rather than increasing, as Governor Haslam has suggested.
Well, we've seen a lot of things that have come up as far as testing and all the other things that seem to be taking the attention away from the teachers being able to deal personally with each child, and they're having to focus on another level. And the same thing is with the principals and all the way up to the superintendents. And I have seen a fairly large group of teachers who are starting to retire early or just plain leaving school because of the pressures that are on, that do not allow them that personal dealing with the youngsters like they've always been used to.
That's very true. And so many of the students today come to school with a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the teacher is the only one they have to talk to about their problems or to get advice from. And if you have an overloaded class size, it's very difficult for the teacher to give that individual attention that they need. But back to this original study I mentioned, mm-hmm. not only did the students perform better on achievement tests, but minority students gained twice as much as the non-minority students, which is an area that we do try to really bring up in our testing program. There, mm-hmm. it's a weak area oftentimes. And this was a four-year study, by the way. The mm-hmm. reduced class size went from kindergarten through third grade, and it was reduced down to an average of 15 students per class. Mm-hmm. Then another study followed that called the Lasting Results Study or Lasting Benefits Study to see if the reduction in class size carried on over the years. Mm-hmm. And it did. There was smaller number who dropped out of school, higher graduation rate. Students were taking more honors classes. There was less truancy. Just a whole gamut of things that were improved due to this small class size.
Does it seem to you and Pat D that a lot of this seems to be aimed more to be a monetary problem rather than an education problem the way it's being attacked?
I'm sure that is the great portion of it. However, in this same study, there was less retention of students. That would be a cost-saving benefit. Mm-hmm. Higher graduation rate, that would be cost-saving. Perhaps less incarceration. You know, we spend three times as much to incarcerate someone as we do to educate a person mm-hmm. in the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So there are some cost benefits that come with reduction in class size as well.
Would you speak to that? You use the term retention. Mm-hmm. Did you mean that there was less failure in the classroom?
Right.
Okay.
They didn't have to repeat classes.
It also seems to me that we have gotten to the point that we want to outsource a lot of supposed efforts to improve education to people that have some sort of expertise, like those that have been developing the testing that's going on in the classroom. It also seems to me that especially for the lower grades where interaction between teacher and pupil is so important, for the teacher to motivate, for the teacher to give attention to students who need it, that with so much emphasis on you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you're going to be evaluated on that, that's lost as well.
Yes, and I've said this before, it seems like sometimes they've taken the joy out of teaching, mm-hmm. and if they've taken the joy out of teaching, they've taken the joy out of learning.
And that's so sad. And you guys, you put on a seminar for teachers who are about to retire. And have you seen that group, I mean, the numbers start to grow from retirement? And what kind of feedback are you getting?
Yesterday was our latest retirement seminar put on by the Rutherford County Retired Teachers Association, and I believe we had the largest attendance that we've had in the past 10 or 12 years that I've been involved in it. And one of the questions on their enrollment was, when do you plan to retire? And a lot of them came just to get information. Others put a question mark. They didn't know when. But those who were planning to retire in May were jumping up and down.
That was the biggest change I've seen over the years, mm-hmm. is that while most of them knew that this was inevitable, they had to retire, they were getting prepared for it, there was joy among the people attending this one that knew they were going to be able to get out of the classroom. They're really making it an onerous job.
And you know, that doesn't have anything to do with the students. I'll bet every one of them who was jumping up and down loved their students just as much as we did, you know, and wanted them to succeed. But so much has been put upon teachers today that it's just gotten too much with the emphasis on testing, the new evaluation system, all of this has just gotten to be too much.
And if I had to say something to all those teachers out there, I'd say the only way to correct that is to remove the people that caused it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what party you belong to. The people that are in there are doing an onerous job. We need to get them out. We need to put the message out there that if you want to fight against society, if you want to fight against our children, if you want to fight against our teachers, you get only one term.
It nothing that they seem to do is of a practical nature. I mean, we all these years we've had a successful system, and you can't reach everybody the same. It's impossible. But everybody has certain talents that they have that they're going to be able to give and become responsible people. And it seems like that what they're doing now just kind of cookie cutters every student, and it doesn't make any sense.
And that's what's one of the things that's wrong with the evaluation system. Everybody does not start on the same playing field. We don't get nuts and bolts to work with in the classroom. We get individuals who are all different, who come from different backgrounds. You know, it's just impossible to compare. Not only that, when you base teacher pay on student performance, you are taking away one of the most important things in education, and that is cooperation among your colleagues. It should not be a competitive business. It should be cooperation where you share with each other to make them better teachers, to offer more to their students. And if this evaluation system stays in place, I fear that that could be a thing of the past.
You think that the classroom is going to become almost robotic, where you have take away the love and the feeling from teacher to student and vice versa? And to me, that was a major part of the learning process when you're in school.
I surely hope that doesn't happen, but it's possible.
You can also see, and I'm speaking as an outsider here, mm-hmm. that so often what happens is that the best teacher in a system is given the most problem students. Mm-hmm. Because they can solve the problems that those students have. That also means that in an evaluation system like we have, they're going to be heavily penalized. You cannot bring those students up to mm-hmm. the point where you're going to be saying, oh, I scored a 4 or a 5 on this, so I'm going to get more merit pay. It can't happen. So you're going to fight that kind of an assignment as well.
So they're not going to allow you to put a cap on a student who obviously is not going to be able to perform at a higher level than what he is or she is at that point. So what in the world do you do?
I guess they would probably use the value added method, which we've had in place in Tennessee, where your achievement scores are based upon how much you raised the child from the previous year, mm-hmm. Which makes it a little bit fairer, but I honestly do not know exactly if they're using that or some other method for the achievement portion of evaluation.
You know, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world is Larry Stewart. He was principal out at Las Casas for years and never talked about all the achievements that he had and his relationship with the students. But they're pretty much legendary out in that community, because he not only follows each child from the time that they're in the classroom at Las Casas, but he followed them all the way up through the high school level and the university level. And any time that they needed anything, and it didn't have to be an education, Larry was right there for them. Mm-hmm. And we're all used to that type of a response from the teachers here in Rutherford County. But what you're saying to me and what I keep reading and hearing is that we're not going to have that process anymore, because a teacher is going to have to be, for their own career purposes, is they're going to have to be like a mule with blinders on. They're not going to be able to see all the other things that are going on.
And it's going to be the same with the principals, because they're going to spend so much time evaluating every teacher every year that they're not going to have time to deal with personalities and with mm-hmm. the children in their school or with their teachers either.
and that's multiple evaluations every year, 4 to 6.
With each teacher.
With each teacher.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the practical part a minute ago. You were talking about the size of the classroom. And of course, everybody knows that the more students that you have in a classroom, the more difficult it is for the teacher to have a one-on-one process with them. And then we talk about that you're no longer going to be paid for getting your major, your doctorate, and all those other things. You're going to be working toward improving your ability and your knowledge, but yet you're not going to get paid for it. And then we add that on to the classroom size. I don't understand the logic of that.
And I thought it was interesting that Governor Haslam compared dropping the state minimum salary schedule with what they're doing in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Denver's salaries are many, many thousand dollars more than the average salary in Tennessee. We're in the bottom 10 pretty much consistently.
Mm-hmm.
The last I saw of Denver City's average salary, it was in the neighborhood of $53,000. Average in Tennessee is around 46, maybe 47 now.
Mm-hmm.
If you had salaries that were at a higher range, or say in the Northeast, where teachers' salaries are double that of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
then you'd have room to play around a bit with the salary schedule. But when we're in the bottom 10, I certainly do not recommend doing anything with it. You know, the average time that a teacher teaches, now this is across the United States,
mm-hmm.
that they last in the classroom today is 5 years. Now some of them it is very sad. Some do take time off and then go back.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area, right here in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro City, we do not have anywhere near that number who last only 5 years. But that is the United States average that I have seen.
What the normal people, if you listen to what's going on in the news media and listen to the people who are pushing all these programs, you would think that the teachers in Tennessee were vastly overpaid. You really would. What is a starting salary?
Oh, and they
salary?
Only work from 8 to 3:15 too, you know.
Well,
about
10 more hours on after school.
I had kept track of hours in teaching,
uh-huh.
Along with a student teacher, and it was about 80 hours a week, went to 90 many times as principal, so that 8 to 3 is a fallacy. So you were asking about the salary schedule.
The salary, of course, I know they're not the same everywhere, but the salaries for a starting teacher, I believe, is still in the 30,000 range.
In the state of Tennessee, as of July 2010, the bachelor's degree starting salary is $29,315.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
How far above the poverty level would that be?
Wait, now you take $29,000, whatever it is, and then you look at the hours that the teacher has to put in for each day. And you would probably almost be down to the minimum wage per hour.
You're right. Now, Murfreesboro and Rutherford County both are higher than the required minimum state because mm-hmm. at one time, and I don't know if this is still in effect, besides the minimum state salary schedule, mm-hmm. locals had to put in a minimum amount. And some cities in Tennessee do put mm-hmm. in the minimum. Rutherford County starting salary schedule in 2010-2011 was $33,916, and in the city it was approximately $500 more. So they're more than the minimum state requirement, but still not in comparison with, say, New England states
uh-huh.
or even some in the Midwest.
All right, as a principal, when you were over at Reeves Rogers, you were looking for the best of the best. So when you have a number of prospective teachers come in, you evaluate them. And when you were doing that, were you looking at not only their grade level at the university, but their personality and what would they actually intertwine or be able to work with the students there, and if they were there for the students?
Yes, the students and the parents. It takes a great personality to be able to work with the parents today as well. But a variety of things worked in, recommendations, advanced degrees, experience, of course. Advanced degrees did come into that, and I have many degrees, and I felt I learned something with each degree, even if it was just learning to be a student again, because you can be so more understanding of your students when you're also a student. And I went to school for 20 years. I did love it. And have a high achievement motivation for myself, and I think that transferred onto my students as well.
The teachers are the most educated group that you'll ever find in one profession. There's no doubt about it. And at the highest level in intelligence. I've been told all my life that the students who turn out to be teachers were A students. The people who turn out to be successful in business were the C students. And, you know, I kind of agree with that quite a bit. But you also have to have that love of children and that compassion for them, and you want to see them succeed. And that's the only way that this country is going to remain successful, is through the teaching profession.
Absolutely. Maybe you should have been a teacher. You've got some great ideas.
No, I was a C student. Now, my brother's an A student, and he teaches physical science and math in Brentwood, and he is going through the same process that every teacher is. So frustrated, because my brother has always been graded high in the way he's able to teach, because he's able to be flexible and make learning fun. And you can see the difference in each child as how they're able to succeed in the classroom is whether they find it interesting and something they enjoy. And that's part of being a teacher.
That's very true. Also, and another important part is whether the child feels connected to that school. Am I an important person here? You know, they don't want to be just a number. They want to be connected with something. So the teacher has to work very hard to see that each child does have that connection and feels important.
Now, if you were still principal, you would have to put in one other question, is can you make yourself invisible, disappear? Because you have to be a magician. So if you and Pat, of course, Pat, it's university level. It's kind of a different thing.
It's very different. I taught high school for 4 years and was the science department in a very small high school. So I taught general science, biology, chemistry, physics. There was a lab with all four of those, so that was another preparation. Mm-hmm. I was assistant football coach in the high school and seventh and eighth grade basketball coach. All of that was part of one job. But I learned a lot about teaching. Those were my first 4 years of teaching, and then we came down here for 3 summers, thanks to the Russians putting up Sputnik. Then we got really interested in science education in our country. They offered grants. I chose MTSU. It was a 3-year program leading to a master's degree. While I was working on that each summer, my wife was working on her bachelor's degree. We came down the fourth year so she could finish the bachelor's degree, and they hired all kinds of people in the biology department. Voila, we moved down here. It's a different job. It's a different level of teaching. A lot more is required. MTSU has changed so much, I wouldn't even be hireable out here now. I don't have the right background. I'm not into research. Almost everybody that they hire is a research person who teaches. They don't hire teachers to do a little bit of research. They hire researchers that do some teaching. So that's changed a great deal as well.
Now, how does that work? Is it
I think it probably works the way most big universities would work. You mm-hmm. lose a little bit, but you gain a lot of prestige from that as well. You get more grants, that sort of thing. Some of my colleagues thought that they could do a job that an elementary teacher couldn't do, but that they could do the job that any elementary teacher did. And mm-hmm. I tried to convince them they just absolutely did not know what they were talking about, because if they went into a second grade class, they wouldn't last the day. Mm. But that's just the difference in background and training. To get back to one of our problems with what happened last year at the legislature, mm-hmm. I think part of it dealt with the fact that we had some prominent legislators from Tennessee who didn't even write the legislation that they were introducing into Tennessee, but went to think tanks that were ultra-conservative and self-serving and picked up that legislation intact and brought it back to Tennessee and introduced it as though it were their own. Why they picked on teachers to begin with, I don't understand. We're a right-to-work state. Have teachers in Tennessee ever struck?
No.
It's not allowed.
Not allowed.
It's not.
We couldn't strike anyway, so we're not a union in the idea that if we don't like what we're going to do, we're going to close things down. That was mm-hmm. never an option. We would never have supported that. It's a professional organization. Mm-hmm. And so when the Murfreesboro City negotiated with the school board, it was not binding arbitration. Mm-hmm. And yet they cut that out. They looks like they're going after the teacher retirement money. It looks like they're doing everything they can to make teachers look bad, and I don't understand why. I really don't.
Well, let's go back to the monetary part we mentioned earlier. Of course, teachers do not make a large salary, as it has been suggested in the media and from other people. Look at the Tennessee State retirement system. It is one of the more solvent systems in the United States. It's right at the top. Very, very conservative. When a teacher retires after 30 years, it's at 49 point something%. And if they stay beyond 30, then they get 1.5%, if I'm remembering correctly, something like that, after that. But it's somewhere in the ballpark. So therefore, you're not going to make a whole lot of money when you retire. I mean, to attack a system that has been at the very top level as far as being able to retain the monies and let it grow is better than almost any other state in the union. And to me, it's just money that's been sitting there that you have contributed to, and everybody else in the Tennessee State retirement system, whether the person, the county, the city, whatever, have all contributed to it. And that's a large sum of money that's sitting there that they're really not supposed to get their hands on. And I think that's what's really bothering a lot of people right now.
You're right. We found that last year when we were at the legislature, the day that they took away the right of TEA to have their something like 50,000 teachers elect three representatives to the Tennessee Consolidated Retirement System mm-hmm. and took away the right of our retired organization to elect one representative to the same board. Now, the four that were elected by teachers will continue to serve until their terms expire, but after that, all representatives of teachers will be appointed by the House Speaker. Mm. That totally makes that a political appointment. Why would they be, you know, looking out for teachers when their appointment was not from teachers? And that does concern me.
Well, it just goes back. The teachers are not involved in any of the process as far as making education probably into a better area of excellence. They're not involved in any of that process. And what I can't understand is everything seems to be coming from another level of government, and probably a lot of it from private enterprise. And to have the ones that are the actual experts in it and actually see it firsthand, the ones that are in the trenches, are just completely left out really doesn't make any sense to me or anybody else right now.
It really doesn't make sense.
Just to clarify things, when you were part of the negotiation process between the city schools and the school board, what were some of the things that you negotiated for?
Salaries, of course. Responsibilities, for instance, duty-free lunch. Teachers at one time were not allowed to have any time off to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was a state decision too, though. Bus duty, extracurricular duties, those were all part of it.
And when you're talking about salary negotiation, what percentage were you looking at?
Oh, that varied according to how the economy was.
But there was a limit on what you were even negotiating the city portion of the raise on, wasn't it?
Yes. For instance, last year, I believe the state gave teachers a 1.6% increase the first, I believe, in 4 years. So you average that out over 4 years. And then it was only on the state portion of the salary, not the local. So when you negotiated back then, you were negotiating only on the local portion.
And how big a portion was that? Do you have any idea?
Small percentage.
Small percentage, 10, 15?
Well, on the beginning salary, those I stated earlier, 4,000 out of 29.
Okay.
Added on to 29.
So when you were talking about a raise from the city then, it wasn't on a very large amount.
Well, it went up according to years of experience,
right,
and degrees.
But still on a very small part of your whole salary.
Pretty much so,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, part of the equation, of course, is the monies that comes down from the federal government. And you have to be able to adjust your classroom to the specific needs that they mandate, or you don't get that money. Does that ever bother you, and does it reach into the classroom?
That probably is handled more at the central office level.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things are handed down, such as the No Child Left Behind,
mm-hmm,
that are mandated without any funding.
Mm-hmm.
So the locals have to work through that and try to find some way to meet the requirements without additional money many times.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back at that. Don't let me forget it. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And she saw a specific need in our community for people who were no longer able to take care of their home duties and unfortunately couldn't run the errands that they were used to. And she has people that will come in and do that 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you would give her or her business a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, it'll be a call that's well worth your while.
This is Bill Bowman, property assessor of Rutherford County. In 2008, I ran my campaign on being fair and honest. And since that campaign, nothing has changed. I continue to be fair, honest, and treat everyone equal. I believe in Rutherford County, believe in giving back to the community. I'm running again and asking for your vote for property assessor. I love my job and serving you. Please vote for me as your property assessor for Rutherford County. I'm Bill Bowman, and I approve this message.
If you love college basketball, there's nothing like the madness of March. If you're a fan of the Sun Belt Conference, the place to be March 3rd through the 6th is Hot Springs, Arkansas. For the 2012 Conference Basketball Tournament, ticket packages for the entire tournament are available for $128 at your local Sun Belt Schools ticket office. Don't miss out on 4 days of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas, America's first resort. The Sun Belt's top teams will battle it out for a trip to the dance. With new rivalries being made, championships being crowned, and dreams coming true. Get your Sun Belt Conference Tournament tickets today.
Smoked Wings Barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with First Community Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
Looking now at Good Neighbor Events from WGNS, the Greenhouse Ministries is offering free tax preparation for anyone whose total household income is $50,000 or less per year. They have volunteers there to help you fill out those tax forms. That'll be now through Tax Day at the Greenhouse Ministries over on Spring Street. And the Hot Metal Show continues in the gallery at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro now through February the 2nd. It's a combination of weathered assemblages and sculpture. The gallery at the Center for the Arts is open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 in the morning until 5 in the evening. Be sure to check with our local Red Cross about classes on CPR for both adults and infants. They're also offering babysitters training. The Red Cross here in town is at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. Check with them about these classes. And Pat Whitaker is again offering the Tai Chi classes over at the Lane Agripark. They're on Wednesday mornings from 9 until 10, and the next 8-week session begins February the 1st. For information or to sign up, get with Pat Whitaker at the Lane Agripark, 898-7710. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Weather-eye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of seeing some light showers. There's a high in the mid-50s. Tonight, showers and isolated thunderstorms possible, low of 47. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
The Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad Street. We now have a European specialist on staff. Now you don't have to go to the dealer for service and repair on Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, and other Europeans. From oil changes to engine work, we can take care of it on foreign, domestic, and European vehicles. 962-9050.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with us. We want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street beside Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall, and Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly, they are the owners, and they buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners at the Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street, or give them a call at 890-2646. Now, Dee, back to the No Child Left Behind. Now, I know that that had to put a great burden on the school system when that was enacted.
I'm sure it did. I had retired about the time
Lucky
it
you.
Came into effect. But then I did follow the Race to the Top money this past year, and Tennessee was one of the first two to earn that. I believe it was $500 million for education or something. And the legislature was able to achieve that by working with TEA teachers to qualify. So after earning that amount of money, it was a shock to teachers, educators all across the state to see the legislature turn on teachers.
Yeah,
right after earning all that money. I brought along a list of just a half a dozen of what we consider anti-teacher bills and the results of just our local senators and representatives, how they voted on each of these. These are the six that I have here. One was to lengthen the time to get tenure. Another one was to repeal negotiations, to allow virtual schools, By the way, most of our virtual schools in Tennessee are funded to each family, but the profit is going out of state. Another one was, as I mentioned before, replacing the teacher representatives on the TCRS board, removing limits on the number of charter schools there can be, taking away the annual contracts for school employees who are not in a position requiring a license, which would be like your teacher aides and so forth, a very valuable part of education. Anyway, our representatives and senators, Senator Bill Ketron, Senator Jim Tracy, Representative Joe Carr, Representative Mike Sparks, Representative Richard Womack, all voted in favor of those. And if we were to bring the other approximately 20 more anti-teacher bills that passed the legislature this past year, you would find they voted the same way.
Well, does anybody look at the major responsibilities that teachers have, I wonder, when they start making their decisions? How well read are they on the legislature that they're working on right now? And one of the areas that I know that people in Rutherford County, the teachers, have had to deal with would be non-English speaking students. There are a large group of those that have come in here. How do you adjust to that, and especially with the testing that you're having to do?
We do have ESL teachers who work with them, and some are working with them, I think, in their own language and trying to get from their language to our language. But I think the biggest problem is testing them in the English language when they don't have command of it.
And how does this affect the teacher who has that child in their classroom?
Very frustrating.
Is it more than frustrating? Would they then not be able to meet the evaluation criteria that they're being?
Well, that's new, so I'm not sure how that would work, but I would assume you're right.
So that they would be graded down because that child had not scored very well on the test.
Now, the teacher, say if you were in the classroom now, and you're strictly controlled by the testing system that they have set up at this time, how do you work with each individual student like you have had in the past, or can you even adjust to that as far as giving them that special attention?
Back when I was teaching, we could do extended contract through Career Ladder, and I tutored small groups of children every day after school, and that helped to meet those needs. I do not believe they are using extended contract anymore for helping students who have special needs. They do have small groups, and I think some special teachers who come around, especially in reading, and work with students with problems.
Now, go ahead, Pat.
Oh, you used the letters ESL. For those who might not be familiar with it, that would mean?
English as a second language.
So, when you work in the classroom as a teacher, each year you learn more as far as how to deal with students in different situations. If we get into maybe a way of having teachers stay there 3, 4, 5 years, and then all of a sudden just become so disenchanted with their career and they start leaving, what is that going to do with our education system and our classrooms?
We have many good teachers who are just beginning, but you can't help but learn more, you know, as you do in any job, with more years of experience.
So if we lose them after 4 or 5 years, that means we start over again every time, that we don't gain from their gain in experience. That's a shame. We ought to have a system that works at retaining those good teachers rather than forcing them out of the classroom.
Well, the thing about at your level, Pat, I mean, you're pretty much you don't have those type of controls on you. when you get a student there, it's up to them to either make it or not make it. But as a teacher at the university level over here, you still have compassion for those students, and you still have freedom to work with them and look at all the levels that could make that person successful.
Within certain boundaries, it works much better for students who are in your major, because you're going to spend more time with them. Mm-hmm. The classes are going to be smaller. You have much more time to interact individually with them. And we do a fantastic job of that at the university level, especially in the area that I was in. I would assume it would be elsewhere. I did most of my teaching with non-majors in fairly large classrooms. It was much harder there.
Although you did have study sessions.
I did. I would have study sessions. I would give daily quizzes to try to keep them just on the material we covered at the last class. I would try to make, they could drop five of the daily quizzes if their absenteeism mm-hmm. was fairly high, or they could drop one major test. I always told them it was a lot better if they saved that drop for the major test. Mm-hmm. I would have outside assignments that would force them into taking a look at current events. Mm-hmm. What are the environmental problems? What are the environmental issues? What are the topics related to biology that are current and in the paper? And they would collect those and turn them in, and I would give them the same as the test grade on that. So I didn't do just the material in the textbook. Mm-hmm. I tried to go beyond that. But the students changed over time too. They were much more aware of grades towards the end of it, and if they did badly on the first test, a very high percentage of them would drop the class and pick it up again the next time.
All right, being at the university level, and say you decided to go to a high school level at this time, would you have to make some major adjustments as far as dealing with the children at that level?
I don't know. I have no concept at all of what high school students would be like. I did teach science 2 days a week, which was like being a visiting fireman, mm-hmm. in Dolores's classroom and Dee's classroom, and I learned a great deal about teaching doing that. But I had a great time with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd ask them questions. They'd come up with answers I'd never thought of, never heard of before. But that was great. I enjoyed that just a whole bunch. They were just a super group of kids to work with.
Do you foresee, Dee, that the teacher-student relationship is going to change drastically because the way that they're having to change their demeanor as far as their relationship with the children there? And do you see it as being as kind of more, not as much like a family atmosphere anymore? Because that's what we all grew up in.
Right. It could change. I think the good teachers, which we have a whole lot of, will work very hard to keep, you know, that healthy relationship going. Mm-hmm. While still having to spend more time on, you know, information to be regurgitated on a test. Mm-hmm.
Dee, how important is parental support for a teacher's success?
I was so fortunate in my classroom. I many times would have more than one parent in my classroom every day, mm-hmm. assisting. So I hate to say anything about those who don't, but it's a great, great benefit to the teacher when the parents are involved in the child's learning. And if they can't come to the classroom, they can still be involved in the child's learning at home.
Mm-hmm. So it's as important for the child as it is for the teacher to have their parents involved, supportive.
Oh, definitely.
Pushing.
Well, almost every teacher I've talked to, and my sons and my grandkids, part of the learning experience for them as far as making them better students would be the parents working with the student and also the teacher. And we see a lot of that still, where the teacher will share what's going on in the classroom with their particular child. And I think that really brings as much success as anything, because when you share what's going on there, then you can work on it together.
Exactly. Those parent-teacher conferences are invaluable.
I know that one of my grandsons goes to over here at McFadden, and they have a great relationship between the students and the teachers and everybody concerned. And I've talked to some of the private school directors here, and one of the things that they say is that it is highly important for the parents to work with the teachers with their particular student and make sure that that child is aimed in the right direction. And they said almost inevitably, if you have a parent involved in the child's education process, they're going to be much more successful. And you know, that partnership is something we don't need to lose.
Very definitely. I know that we credit our daughter, who was so involved with her three children's education. They're all in college now. The mother of the one we talked to you about earlier, mm-hmm. She worked with her children daily. And the oldest one, who was dyslexic at first, still is, but has overcome it and accommodated for the problem. Whereas his friends might spend 30 minutes after school on homework, he might spend 3 or 4 hours, and she would sit there right with him and help him through it. And it has paid off big time. You know, he's had full scholarships all the way through, straight A student. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen firsthand how important that involvement of the parent with the school and with their children in learning is.
And I think that parents need to understand that they don't have to be highly educated to be of motivation to their students, to their children, that they can show an interest and encourage them and let them know that this is the way of moving upward to a better life, better than maybe they had, without feeling bad about not knowing everything that their kids learn at the same time.
You know, one of the things that's always bothered me is that government, when they send down the millions of dollars for the state of Tennessee and for Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, or whatever, they put stipulations on how you're to use that money. And for some reason, that's always bothered me, because they get that money right from our wallets. They really do, a large portion of it. And to be able to put those type of mandates on what our grandkids and kids are going to learn really does leave a sour taste in my mouth, because I'm still a strong believer that you go to the people who are the experts. That's where you're going to find out the most. And they're in our classroom, and it doesn't seem like they're being heard either locally or nationally. And I've just wondered what in the world has caused us to get into such a mess.
The big people with big money making the decisions.
Mm. Well, that leaves me out. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Pearl and Howerton Automotive. That's Mark Pearl and John Howerton at 2006 North Main Street in Shevelville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call at 1-800-264-6800, toll free, of course, or pearlhowerton.com. And the best thing to do is take about a 25-minute drive towards Shevelville on 231 South. It's on your left just before you get into downtown Shevelville.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers 2 locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor, and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative, skilled nursing, and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. in line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Health Care, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
That sign that Brian Barrett was holding up, I couldn't read it. You guys are much more educated than I am. Is that forward or backwards?
Upside down.
Pat, you had Brian in biology, he said.
I did.
And
he survived and graduated and did well, and I've thrown all my grade books away, so I won't even bother to verify anything that we've talked about, Brian.
That's awesome. I'm glad. And it was, when I was in college, it was in an actual book, I'm sure, not on a computer.
Yes, it was.
35 years after I graduated from Central High, I had Ms. Hopgood in Latin and in English.
Now, did they chisel your grades in a stone?
Yes. Okay. But anyway, I ran into Ms. Hopgood, and she said, Truman, you were one of the best students I ever had. And I said, thank goodness for years gone by and age.
Amen to that.
Yes. It's been a great show, Pat and Dee. Y'all are so much fun. And I know everybody enjoyed it. And keep up the good work. We want education to survive in the state of Tennessee.
It means so
much for all of us. And I have such great memories of all my teachers and all the students and the great fun it was to be in school. And I want to see it continue to be that way. And we'll see you guys Monday. And we will have Mr. Hoot Gibson on. And that is going to be a great show. We're talking about space. That's right. And he does give a hoot, too, especially to Ray.